Good evening, everyone. This week, we talk about a colleague of Wilbert Fordyce from last episode, who was, of course, also a pain researcher. His name was John Bonica, and he is generally considered one of the founding fathers of the specialty of pain medicine, which, luckily for me, makes him much easier to research. And so, let's talk about his early life. Bonica was born in 1917, on Filicudi, a small island in Italy, and he spent his early years there as part of an esteemed family. Bonica's father was at one point deputy mayor of the town, and later served as the director of the postal service, while his mother was a midwife and nurse who was one of two clinicians on the entire island of 2,600 people. His lifelong fascination with medicine started at the age of 8, when he watched his mother and a doctor lance a breast abscess, which basically means cutting open skin to remove pus from a wound. And from my understanding, it is not pretty. Bonica fainted when they cut into the patient, but apparently it left an impression and supposedly he then knew he wanted to be a doctor. Not sure how fainting at a procedure makes you want to be a doctor, but clearly it worked out. In 1928, the Bonica family all moved to Brooklyn, New York, in search of new opportunities, and where they thrived, finding new work despite not being able to bring over any money due to the laws of the time. Unfortunately, in 1932, just 4 years after they had arrived in America, Bonica's father died unexpectedly when he was just 15. And so Bonica's mother took up work in factories, and he likewise worked, selling newspapers, shining shoes, and working as a grocery store clerk. While doing all of this, he also maintained good grades and was a talented athlete, especially in wrestling. Quite a few extracurricular activities there, to say the least. His wrestling ultimately was his first claim to fame. In 1936, Bonica won the New York Interscholastic Championship and a regional intercollegiate championship in wrestling, which led to a professional wrestling agent to recruit him as a professional wrestler. He ended up wrestling in every major wrestling center in the East and Midwest United States, and for 4 years he actually worked as a strongman in several traveling circuses that went around the country. In 1938, he won the National United States title, the next year he won the Canadian title, and in 1941, he was actually light heavyweight champion of the world for about 7 months, a crazy achievement in and of itself. And we haven't even talked about his medical career at all yet. This stuff was already interesting enough that I'd probably have included it, but it's actually also relevant to the medical stuff for two reasons. The first is that he was actually doing all this wrestling while he was in medical school. Can you believe that? Medical school, traveling circus strongman, and world-class professional wrestler, all at the same time. The second way wrestling was relevant to his later medical exploits is because, as you can imagine, wrestling at the world-class level is pretty intense, and Bonica actually suffered some serious injuries during his athletic career. He ended up with arthritis of multiple joints, and ended up having over 18 operations over his life, allowing him to personally relate to many of his pain patients. In 1943, he also almost suffered a personal tragedy which further cemented his interest in pain medicine. A year earlier, he had graduated from medical school and gotten married, and now his wife was in labor with their first child. An inexperienced intern botched giving the mother-to-be her anesthetic, and it nearly killed Bonica's wife. He was to be an advocate for improving obstetric analgesia for the rest of his life. His first forays into preventing and treating pain came when he was assigned chief of anesthesia at the Mattigan Army Hospital, a large military hospital in Washington, which was treating thousands of military personnel wounded in the Pacific Theater of World War II. Conditions were tough, and due to a scarcity of trained physicians, he and two nurses would put 50 to 60 patients to sleep a day in preparation for a surgery, which refined his anesthetic techniques quite quickly. Practice makes perfect, as they say. He then used this newfound knowledge to teach others, and before long their staffing problem ceased to exist. At this point, he began treating patients with severely painful injuries, but found that there was little information about how to treat chronic pain and set about fixing that. He began systematically studying pain syndromes and their treatment, and understood that pain was a complex problem requiring specialty knowledge of different types of physicians. After World War II, he was asked by the state of Washington to join their recently formed University of Washington Medical School as its chairman of anesthesiology, which he accepted. He founded the University of Washington Multidisciplinary Pain Clinic, which became the model for the development of similar facilities around the world, and pulled expertise from multiple specialties in order to treat complex pain problems. He also began recruiting researchers, which I believe is how Fordyce from the last episode came to be at the University of Washington. Within the United States, he spread the study of pain by training new physicians, leading research, and talking at numerous conferences. Unlike many other great scientists, though, he also spent a lot of time traveling to Washington, D.C. to lobby legislators and the National Institutes of Health. He argued that more money was needed for research and care in pain, and did successfully obtain many more grants for his efforts. To further spread research and improve clinical care, Bonica wanted an international forum. For this, he created the International Association for the Study of Pain, or IASP for short, an organization that he had envisioned decades earlier but finally had the clout to make happen. He gathered 350 leading pain researchers from 13 different countries in Washington, a feat in and of itself, and 2 years later the first issue of the journal Pain was published, which was one of the earliest journals specializing in pain research and is still considered among the top journals in the specialty. Bonica would go on to lecture around the world, receive a list of awards that fills multiple paragraphs, and undoubtedly was one of the most influential figures in pain treatment, especially for his role in promoting the specialty as a field of study. He was reportedly also a devoted family man, and passed away a few months after his wife in August 1994, with one article poetically stating that, quote, "Life without Emma after 52 years of marriage was not possible for him." On that bittersweet note, I am ending our episode on John Bonica. Next week, we will talk again about opioids and catch up on what's been going on with this class of drugs in the last few decades, and perhaps begin to touch on how we got to the opioid abuse epidemic of the modern era. As always, thanks for listening. If you enjoy what you hear, please leave us a rating or review, or tell a friend about the show. Thanks also to Jojo Tang for editing, Angie Lee for our cover art, and Muse Open for this music.